Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining me is a former defensive lineman in the NFL. He played for the Jets, and also he's a guy that likes to count his chickens before they hatch, because a few weeks ago, Leje Douzebal was dancing on the grave of my New England Patriots, telling me how great the New York Jets are, and look how the tables have turned as the Jets have just lost 2 games in a row, 14 straight, to the Patriots. Leje Douzebal, how you doing?
I knew there was a reason why you wanted me to come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Last time you were basically just rubbing salt in my wound. I wasn't happy, and now it's a little bit of a different scenario.
Are you technically happy with that performance? Like, do you honestly think that's going to be viable going down the stretch?
Well, I'm realistic. I didn't think my team was a playoff team before the start of the season, but they're not as worse as the Jets.
You were realistic about it. I'll give you that. Okay.
Yeah, but you weren't realistic. You were telling me the Jets are going to finish in second place in the AFC East.
Do you think they won't?
No, not with Zach Wilson. Well, maybe after what we just heard from Robert
Saleh. I was just about
to
say, you just didn't hear what happened, did you?
Yeah. How'd you react to that? All kidding aside, Robert Saleh, for the first time, showed some skepticism publicly with his quarterback.
Yeah, I think it was needed, right? Because, you know, Zach, I did the Jets pre and post last year. And after the Tampa Bay game, in a game the Jets should have won outright, right? They're up, I believe, by 4 or 5 points. Robert Saleh on 4th and 2 decided to go for it, score a touchdown in the game. That way the Bucs don't have a chance to win the game. There was a play that Mike LaFleur dialed up. Perfect play call, right? Braxton Berrios on a speed sweep, he's going to walk into the end zone. But Zach Wilson decides to go with the check in that call, which, again, he's a rookie quarterback. They should have never had that check with it. But it was a quarterback sneak if the A-gap was open. But to me, right, there was no A-gap open because you got Vita Vea and Dominican Sue and William Golston all tilted to the A-gap. And in this league, Zach, it's damn near impossible to get 1 yard on a quarterback sneak. But you for sure not getting 2 yards. So to me, it was almost like he wanted the glory of that game, right? He wanted it to be about him. And then after the game, they asked him about it. He's like, I had a check. Like, the kid didn't take any accountability. I remember Jet fans got mad at me because I was like, that's a character flaw, right? I played in this game for a long time, had hundreds of different teammates, right? There's been times where I've taken the bullet when I didn't need to, but that's just what you do in this league. And at the quarterback position, that's the most important position on the team. When everything's going well, it's on you. When everything's going bad, it's on you. You have to take the good with the bad at the quarterback position. You have to put the onus on you. Perfect example, Zach. We just saw when the Bills lost to the Jets. Josh Allen come out and says, it's hard to win when your quarterback plays like you know. Right, took accountability, right? And then you heard his teammates have his back. Like, this was not on just Josh Allen. This was on more than him. But this kid has not taken accountability not one time. So I go back to that Tampa Bay game where he refused to take accountability and said, you know what, I shouldn't have made that play. I should have gave the ball to Braxton Berrios as the play was scripted. I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to move forward. You know how much respect he would have got from his teammates? He had another opportunity yesterday to do it, Zach.
So take me inside that locker room, Leje Douzebal. When you hear him yesterday say, did you feel like you let the defense down? And he goes, no. How do you react to that if you're still in the locker room and you're a defensive player?
Oh, you're pissed off, right? Because now you're worried. That, like I said, to me, that's a character flaw. Like, yes, the offense didn't play well at all. But You clearly missed 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 throws that were just simple throws, simple check down throws, simple smoke throws, simple screen throws out to your left. Your footwork is all over the place. Your mechanics are terrible. Like, for you to come out and say and take no accountability and just say it quick, nonchalant, and be confident and say, like, that's literally spitting in the defense's eyes for what they did yesterday. You hold a team to 3 points, Zach, there's no way in hell you're supposed to lose the game. 3 points. The Jets had 6 sacks on defense and held the New England Patriots to 3 points and lost a football game in 2022. That should never happen. So you're pissed off. Now, kudos to the defensive players because all, you know, the press conferences yesterday and today, they've all come out and support. And that's what you're supposed to do, right? You don't want the locker room to be split. But when a quarterback answers a question like that, he's essentially starting to begin to split the locker room up because the defense week in and week out has given this team an opportunity to win games. Even the game before 3 weeks ago versus New England Patriots, right? There's no way that just the team shouldn't have won that game. If they just got adequate, not even average quarterback play, if they got below average quarterback play, they would have beat the New England Patriots. But they didn't get that. Zach Wilson threw the game away, and this time he did it the total opposite way. It was like he was gun-shy and didn't want to throw it. And then when they gave him easy throws, simple throws, just to get his confidence up, he couldn't make those throws, and he still didn't take accountability at the end of the day.
And he also got lucky because he could have got picked off easily
at least twice in that game. At least twice.
So who starts this weekend? There's one thing for Robert Saleh to come out today and not commit to starting a quarterback against the Bears yet. Do you think he will actually bench Zach Wilson and go to Mike White or Joe Flacco?
No, I think he will. I think Zach is going to get the start, right? He's still his guy number two overall, so you got to give him as many opportunities as possible. And let's not forget, it still is only year two, right? And I'm not giving Zach any excuses because he has faced some really good defenses if you look at it, right? The Buffalo Bills game, he threw for about 154, right? Just lived within the offense, didn't do nothing crazy, right? Didn't lose the game. He played the New England defense twice. He played the Denver Broncos defense, right? And, I mean, the Steelers defense is, you know, they're a shell of themselves. And he actually played really well in that fourth quarter to help us win that game. But I think, I mean, since that game, I don't think he's thrown – but the New England game, he threw for over 160, but it was in a losing manner, right? He threw 3 interceptions that game to help us lose that game. So, like, if you look at it as a whole, he's played some tough defenses, but at the end of the day, he's just not doing the simple things, the easy things, like the easy throws that they give him. Like, his mechanics and footwork are still as bad as they were yesterday. I don't understand how that's even possible when you had a whole offseason. Now, granted, you did get hurt earlier in the year, and you kind of got to really work to get those mechanics and fundamentals back. But it shouldn't be this long into the season while you're still making the same mistakes, right? You want to see some growth, and we just have not seen it.
Lijay Duzabal here with us. Who are your top 3 teams right now in just the AFC?
Oof, in the AFC, you have to go Miami. You have to go Kansas City. And then there's that third one that's a little tricky, man. I mean, you would say the Bills, but, you know, the Jets beat them. And then they, you know, they almost, I won't say almost lost, but, you know, Cleveland had a comeback in that game. But for right now, I would have to probably say the Buffalo Bills are the third team.
Where do the Ravens factor into this conversation? Because they're 7-3, but that was not a good performance offensively yesterday.
And I would have put them in ahead of the Bills, but that was a downright awful offensive performance yesterday versus a Carolina team that has been giving it up to everybody lately. So, I mean, to me, they're one of the most dangerous teams just because they put you in such a bind with their run offense, right? And people were worried about that defense. But if you look the last few weeks, that defense is playing at a very high level. Now, granted, a couple of those games are versus NFC South teams. Those NFC South teams can fool you. So you got to be careful when you're talking about a team and how they, you know, play specifically. I think they'll win that division. I actually think Cincinnati is going to struggle down the stretch just because their schedule is so vaunting. I think it's the hardest schedule in the NFL. I believe they have the Bills still. They have the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the Tennessee Titans. They still got to play the Ravens, and they got to play the Browns, who Joe Burrow just cannot beat. So the Ravens are a dangerous team. I just, after that performance Sunday, I mean, one team that we should be looking at, the Tennessee Titans, I don't know what it is for Mike Vrabel and this team. They just find a ways to get it done, to go into Lambeau Field and the way that Ryan Tannehill played like the MVP of the league on Thursday Night Football – versus the Green Bay Packers. So that's another team, right? Because they're going to play defense. They're going to run the football. And Ryan Tannehill is going to make some plays. The thing is, in big-time games, can he make the plays that he did Thursday night?
And my answer on that would be no. Like, the Titans are a team you don't want to see because Vrabel is a top-five coach. You have Derrick Henry, who's so tough to tackle. You don't want to see them, but if you're going up against them, you say, yeah, in the final 5 minutes of the game, if it's close, you just think Tannehill's going to throw it to the other team.
Which he did, right, in that last game. They gave the Packers a chance. They just couldn't really – they really just couldn't capitalize on it.
Lijay Duzubal here with us. The NFC is so open. The Cowboys just dominated the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. That was coming off this great victory for Minnesota last week against the Bills. How do you kind of view the Cowboys? Because yesterday was a big statement winning that game.
Show us the real you. That's what I would say, Zach. Like, which Cowboy team is the real team? Is it a team that we saw yesterday that dominated one of the best teams or one of the best teams we thought in the NFL? Or is it the team that we saw choke in the second half versus the Green Bay Packers? Like, which team is it? To me, the Cowboys got back to doing what they do, Zach. And I've been pounding the table forever for them to do that. You're paying Dak Prescott $40 million. I get it, right? But if you look at that as a whole, that's actually middle-tier quarterback money now because so many people have been paid after him. To be honest with you, it really is, right? I think he's like the 10th highest-paid quarterback. So, like, for that to be the excuse why you're dropping him back 46 times versus the Green Bay Packers, that is just ridiculous. I think Kellen Moore self-scouted himself and said, we're running football team. They ran the ball effectively between Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Each one of them had 15 carries. And then Dak just had easy throws. He went 22 of 25 for 276 yards. He found, you know, Tony Pollard on a wheel route in a mismatch coverage, one-on-one with the linebacker. Then he also found him in the flat, and he's explosive, so he took it 35 yards to the house. If they get back to doing that, this is a very dangerous team because we know this team. If they play with a league, there's not many offenses that can stand up to them and their defense and how they can get after the quarterback. I mean, with Armstrong and Michael Parsons on the outside and Devontae Fowler and DeMarcus Lawrence, when they get in that NASCAR package and it's third and long, good luck blocking them.
Wrapping up with Lijay Duzubal here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we look at the NFC, so Minnesota takes a step back yesterday. We know the Eagles come back and get the victory. We just talked about Dallas. The 49ers, to me, are so frustrating because they have all this talent. They'll win tonight. Yeah. They'll beat the Cardinals. We know Kyler Murray's not playing. But I didn't like that effort last week against a Chargers team that was really banged up, even though the 49ers won the game.
Yeah, but to me, they're still the most dangerous team in the NFC, right? Again, this is what CMC's third week now. It'll be interesting to see how Shanahan, now that he's been there for going on close to a month, how he implements him and Debo in the backfield. That's what I want to see because I can't wait to see how defenses try to adjust to that. I think that's going to be an issue. And granted, I'm with you, Zach. I didn't like their performance versus the Chargers, but I think also you got to give some credit to Justin Herbert. He came out on fire in that game. It wasn't just the offense struggling for San Francisco. Their defense struggled in that first half versus the Chargers, right? Justin Herbert was able to do what he wanted to do and had some absolute dime passes. I mean, that one at DeAndre Carter for the touchdown. Maybe two players in the NFL are making that throw, and one played last night against them, and Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, this team, right, one of the top defenses in the league, they're starting to get more healthier. I think the big thing, they got to get Eric Armstead back inside of the defensive tackle position. I think they've sorely missed him, not only against the run, but his presence as far as pass rushing up the middle, that helps Nick Bosa a lot, and Samson Ebukam has kind of been banged up too. They just got to get healthy, man. That's been the biggest issue with the 49ers. Once they get healthy, I think they're going to be a real dangerous team in the NFC. I honestly got them as my dark horse win in the NFC this year.
Why do you like them more so than Philly?
I just think they've been there before. And now Philly went to the playoffs last year, but the 49ers are going to be who they are, right? They're going to run the ball effectively. They're going to play great defense. The thing is, you got to anticipate that Jimmy's going to have to make two or three big throws a game. And if he can make it, they're going to win. If he can't make it, they're going to lose. But I just think the talent that they have, right? You talk about, you know, Trent Williams at left tackle. McGlinchey has struggled at right tackle. He's played awful this year. He's got to get it together. Hopefully he's getting a little bit healthier. George Kittle, they still haven't even really implemented him yet into this offense. Like, he's essentially become an extra offensive tackle blocking. I think he should be getting 8 to 9 targets a game because he's a special talent. I just think they have the talent, Zach, and they've been there, right? 2 out of the last 3 years, like they've been to NFC championship games 2 out of the last 3 years. Like they know how to get there. They know about playoff football. Let's not forget, last year they had to go on the road every game, right, to get to the NFC championship game. So this is a team that's built to win on the road or at home. They most likely probably will win the division. I love Seattle. I love what Geno Smith has done. They've already beat them once. They got one more time against the Seattle Seahawks. I just think they're just more experienced. The Seahawks team is still young, even though they got some veterans mixed in there. I just like the 49ers team. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to go on a run here.
Last one for Lijay Duzabal. I got to get one college football point in before we let you run. 2 weeks left in the season. When it's all said and done, who's the 4 teams in the college football playoff?
Whew, that's a good question, right? Because Tennessee went down. I mean, it was a weird weekend for me, Zach. I mean, my UCF Knights had everything they wanted in front of them to get to a New Year's Six bowl game. They tricked it off. They lost. My Jets lost, right? It's just been a weird weekend. So, I mean, a lot of teams actually lost, too, this past weekend. So, when it's all said and done, right, I think I got Georgia. I think Georgia's going to beat LSU in the SEC championship. Georgia gets in. I'm going to say Ohio State beats Michigan this upcoming weekend and then wins the Big Ten championship. TCU, I'm letting TCU in there. And then that 4 spot is iffy because I had Tennessee getting in before they lost.
Is it USC now? Do they win out?
I hate to say it, but I think they're going to lose next week to Notre Dame, to be honest with
okay.
you. So that 4 spot is up in the air.
Clemson could still be alive, or maybe if Ohio
They don't deserve to get in.
I'm 100% with you, but maybe, and I think it would have to go this way, that Michigan would need to beat Ohio State. But if Michigan beats Ohio State by the slimmest of margins, like a 2-point conversion or by a field goal, maybe you get 2 Big Ten teams in this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What if Michigan loses by a field goal? Do you think they deserve a chance to get in if everything that I just talked about happened?
I think they have a chance because it's a bizarre year, but their resume is not great.
Their resume is bad. The non-conference games are horrible.
So we'll see how it shakes out. Lijay Duzabal, my condolences to your Jets. Actually, I don't really mean it, so. Have a good one. Make sure you listen to my Mad Dog Sports
Radio.
Don't
worry, the Vikings are going to avenge us Thursday, okay?
Appreciate it, Lijay. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Zach.
There you go, Lijay Duzabal joining us. Hey, he's already on the train, hot take kicky, of that the Patriots are going to lose to the Vikings. He doesn't even let it rest for 24 hours after being wrong 2 times in the last 3 weeks, that Lijay Duzabal.
I respect it. I think me and him come from the same tree. When your team loses, you just keep swinging and you hope, you know, someone else then knocks the other team
down.
And
that's why the two of you are losers and I'm a winner. That's just the way that it works. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. When we come on back, we update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Time
time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Cowboys blow out the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. And, of course, the Cowboys can't have a win without there being some drama and putting a little cherry on top of what was a perfect Sunday. Jerry Jones is asked if the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders, and I can only imagine how Jerry responded to this.
Unequivocally, yes. I think we've had adversity. We very easily could have some more adversity. But if we can get in there healthy and still have games like the last two we just had on the road, I think if we use the experience of what we're having in the season, then we're going to be playoff ready. But I sure do think that what I see out here right now is the team like that you could go get a Super Bowl with.
So he's not wrong, and I can't kill him for saying that, Hickey, but if I was the owner of the Cowboys, this is how I would have addressed that question and how I would have answered it. We said similar things last year. It's time to put up or shut up and actually prove that we can go win a Super Bowl and we'll go win a Super Bowl. We need to prove that. It doesn't matter what I say. That's how I would handle it.
I like that because you're right. I mean, that's the thing. It's 2 years in a row, same thing. And, you know, you've had this phrase before. It's like you can't really prove anything in the regular season. The Cowboys are one of those teams where we will not truly know how legitimate they are, no matter who they beat, no matter how they beat them in the regular season, until you get to the playoffs. You can make some hay there, which they haven't done so far.
Zach Wilson was asked if he thinks the offense is to blame.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
That's horrible. Now, maybe I should just go into public relations because I'm advising Jerry Jones and I should advise Zach Wilson. Ask me that question and I'll be Zach Wilson and how Zach Wilson should have answered it.
Defense allows 3 points to the Patriots for the entire game. Zach, do you feel like the offense has let down the defense today?
I let us down today. My play needs to be better. It will be better. And I have to go earn the trust back of the defense. Our defense has been kicking ass and taking names all season. And this is twice where I didn't play well up against the Patriots. The last two losses against the Pats are on me and only me. I let us down. We have so many great players on this offense. We're going to be a great offense, but I need to be better. It starts with me. No controversy today. And I think if he answers that question that way, then Robert Saleh doesn't basically give a no answer when he's asked if there's going to be a quarterback change and if that's possible.
I'm going to get to the tape and just evaluate everything, and I'll leave it at that. We're keeping everything on the table over the next couple of days.
So you're not committing to Zach as your starter for Sunday?
Not right now. Not until I'm done evaluating everything.
Hickey, I think that is a coach that's sending a message to his quarterback. You don't play like that, and then you don't answer the questions the way that you did. So now I'm going to give you kind of a taste of your own medicine and not even commit to you. But then you wonder how much effect that really has if you then start the kid, Zach Wilson, on Sunday. Because I do think Zach Wilson's going to start on Sunday.
I do think it's at least an ability to kind of check, though, like kind of just throw like, hey, look, you're number two overall pick. Usually these guys are coddled, but this is a situation where it's one of those where, hey, you're not playing well and we'll reevaluate. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe he starts on Sunday and his words are undermined, but I think at least you can have put Zach Wilson on notice saying you have one more game like this, you're on the bench.
And there's no excuses this weekend. The Bears defense is not good. You should be able to play well with the limited things that they ask you. And we don't even know if Justin Fields is going to play. Ian Rappaport reporting that Justin Fields suffered a left shoulder dislocation. Sources say a painful injury he somehow played through on Sunday. Coach Matt Eberflus described Fields as day-to-day. His status for this Sunday is still to be determined. Now, I remember when Zach Wilson was the second overall pick 2 years ago. And we both had this reaction where Lawrence is going to go one and Wilson's going to go two. And we had this conversation kind of crazy that right away it was a slam dunk that Zach Wilson was going to go too, and there wasn't more consideration for, let's say, a Justin Fields or a Mac Jones or a Trey Lance, because we knew Lawrence on paper was the best quarterback in that draft class. There was varying opinions in terms of who the second best quarterback was.
And it's very weird that all of the debate, all of the rage was basically Justin Fields, Trey Lance versus Mac Jones.
For the 49ers, because it was right. A foregone conclusion Wilson was going two to the Jets.
And why that was such a slam dunk at the time, it's still bewildering 2 years later. Makes no sense.
You know what it is? And I know this could contradict itself because of the way that Trey Lance's style of play is and Justin Fields' style of play is. I think some people now, whenever you're evaluating a quarterback, everyone's trying to find the next Mahomes. There's not another next Mahomes. But then you try to find what's like the Walmart version of Mahomes, because then it's still going to be really damn good. And I think with the athletic ability of Zach Wilson and the way that he threw that ball like 70 yards in shorts and a t-shirt at his pro day is what made him the number two overall pick. But you could just easily argue that as Justin Fields has all the same big play potential, and Trey Lance, to be fair, the regular person like us, no one really saw Trey Lance play in college because when he had that one great year, he was playing at North Dakota State, and then when everyone found out about him, we had him on the show before like anyone, going into that season that never ended up happening, only played one game because of COVID. You didn't really get to see much of him, and I think that's why Trey Lance didn't go too. But that's on the scouts to figure out how good he is, not just us being regular people.
And reading into competition and the schedule, which now you're starting to see that BYU schedule 2020, Zach Wilson put up big numbers, not against very good teams.
Also, Robert Saleh gives his thoughts on the bad offensive play.
Especially the offense, 7 possessions, only 2 total yards.
Yeah, it's dog.
Now, here's the one thing. So that answer was from yesterday where he calls his offense dog bleep. And then today, I still need to evaluate the tape on the quarterback. You know what your quarterback did, but this once again goes back to they're sending a message to Zach Wilson.
And buying time. Maybe make a plan for Mike White, Joe Flacco, whoever they want to make starter. Just buy a little extra time before kind of locking that in today.
Let's go to Garrett Wilson, the Jets' young wide receiver, rookie. He rips the entire Jets offense.
We got to be detailed, you know, all of us. You know, it started during the week in practice, coaching, all of that, man. We all got to be more detailed. We all got to have a better plan. It's not okay. You know, I mean, straight up, it's not okay. We had how many total yards we had?
100, a little over 100.
Yeah, not going to fly. So, you know, we got the dudes. It's time. You know, it's time to be consistent. It's time to start winning the games we should win. It's time to do all that.
Now, I'm not saying, Hickey, that is what you needed to hear from Zach Wilson because that's the quarterback. I think the message needs to be different. But you could at least tell that Garrett Wilson cares and was willing to lay into that Jets offense, where Zach Wilson just gave up the vibe that he didn't really care and he didn't think he was really at fault for what went down yesterday.
Which it's pretty obvious, right? The reasons for the Jets offensive struggles. And it's
you think?
Not good that the one person who's the main reason either is in just in denial or truly does not see that he's the reason for their failure.
Now, before I get to this Nick Sirianni clip, do you agree with what Nick Sirianni's saying? Just give me a yes or a no, that Frank Reich should still be the coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Just yes or no.
I would agree, yes.
Oh, my God.
He's not the reason why they were losing.
Never had him prepared for a game this year.
Oh, and the offensive line can't block. I don't know if it's Frank Reich's fault.
Just going to give you a little stat here. Frank Reich was outscored 118-42 in the first half this season, never had a lead going into halftime. Jeff Saturday threw 2 games, 23-10, and had 2 leads going into halftime. Here's Nick Sirianni, though, sticking up for his old boss in Frank Reich and says it's great to beat the Colts after they fired Frank Reich.
Yeah, I'm emotional because I love Frank Reich. I really do, and he's one of the best damn football coaches I've ever been around. So yeah, I was hoping that him and I would be able to coach against each other. You don't want to know what I think of if he should be here or not, but because you guys can probably imagine what I really think. Spent a lot of time here. My kids, one of my children was born here, and it was sweet to come here, especially with what happened in this organization the last couple weeks, and get the win. The win. We live in Indianapolis with a win.
Now, it's one thing for him to be a Frank Reich apologist because that was someone that gave him a job. For you to still be a Frank Reich apologist is just disgraceful.
He's not the reason why this team is losing.
That's like your girlfriend cheating on you, and then you still saying, oh, yeah, she did nothing wrong.
No, there's a difference between firing Frank Reich at the end of the year
and firing Frank Reich now.
And they played the Raiders, and they're 1-1. They lost to the Eagles.
Have they responded better to Jeff Saturday? I mean,
sort of.
Started
not
games?
Really.
It's not even close. 23-10 going into halftime.
You can't finish games.
One game they don't finish, and then all this against the Eagles, they play better than you could imagine.
For the Colts on Sunday, it's literally that game is a story of their season. It's a story of their season. The offense can't do anything. The defense, unfortunately, is on the field for too long. They can't get a stop. It's like it's literally Groundhog Day every single week with this team outside of the Raiders game, which we're seeing more and more each week. The Raiders are one of the few teams that are worse than the Colts.
So Frank Reich has to take no blame and should still get a job because his team could never beat Tennessee. They always lost in Jacksonville. They had tied up against the Texans this year, and they never had a lead going into halftime. He just gets all passes because the line wasn't good.
And again, I say he's going to get fired at the end of the year, but I'm saying you fire a coach in season because he's the reason why they're losing. I can name at least three or four reasons why the Colts are losing outside head coach. That's all.
Do you agree that they've gotten a jolt of energy from Jeff Saturday?
Yeah, they have. But how long is that going to last? If it extinguishes, you know, going forward, what is that gun for? You got one win against a Raiders team. Congratulations.
Better than having a dead message and a stale message of Frank Reich still there. Josh Allen shouts out the Bills Mafia for making the trip to Detroit.
I mean, again, credit to both fans, I guess, for getting up here. But obviously, Bills Mafia, you know, for what they were going through, too. I mean, they were probably digging themselves out of snow so they can drive 4.5 hours to get here. So we really appreciate our fan base, and I can honestly say we couldn't have done it without them this week. It took a lot of moving hands and moving parts.
Hickey, it's amazing how the Bills just got to Detroit. Because I talked to Dawson Knox after his performance yesterday, and he joined us in Eye on Football. He said he woke up, and there was 10 neighbors that are all Bills fans in his driveway, shoveling his driveway, not even asked. He didn't even ask. They just showed up with shovels in the midst of a thunder snow, whatever they call that thing, 6 feet of snow. And Bills Mafia found a way out of their house when I saw videos from Deion Dawkins and Tyler Medikevich where the snow was piled up so much they couldn't even open up their doors. And somehow Bills fans found a way to get those players to the airport.
Bills Mafia, they're different, man. They're different.
They are ridiculous. Ron Rivera, after the game, announces that Taylor Heinicke will be the Commanders starter moving forward.
We're going to go with Taylor, and we'll work Carson back in and see where Carson is in terms of if he's ready to be the backup, and then we'll go from there.
What were those conversations like?
They were very good.
With Carson in particular, obviously he didn't come here to be a backup, but was he generally understanding?
He was very good. He really was.
What was it Taylor has shown you to lead you to this decision?
Winning.
That's what it is. Taylor Heinicke's not playing great, but he's winning games, and Carson Wentz can't win games. Carson Wentz 2-4 as a quarterback this year. Taylor Ham Heinicke 4-1. Hickey, this is an obvious decision. I know Rivera's had to like clarify today. Oh, it's still week by week, and we'll see what happens game by game. It's amazing how they still have the floaties on when dealing with Carson Wentz. Like, who cares about Carson Wentz anymore? The guy's not a good quarterback. So why should we care that he's going to get upset and he's sensitive because he was always looking over his shoulder in Philadelphia with Nick Foles and Jalen Hurts? So we should care? The guy's not a good quarterback. It's amazing how they still coddle this guy.
I don't disagree. I'm with you there. I don't get it. But, hey, in the end, all that matters is the right decision was made. Taylor Heinicke, QB1.
And finally, I can't believe this one. And this is how the battle of incompetence deserved to end with the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. In the moment yesterday, coming out of the two-minute warning on third down, I thought to myself, maybe they're going to throw the ball on 3rd and 10. And then I thought, no, Russell Wilson, there's no way right now he could complete a 10-yard pass for a first down. Why would you have that confidence? Run the clock. Raiders have no timeouts left. And then they'll get the ball back, and we'll see if they can march down the field. Nathaniel Hackett wasn't calling the plays. Clint Kubiak is now the play caller. And they elected to throw the football with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson didn't have a play, didn't take a sack, throws the ball out of bounds. Raiders almost went down the field and won the game, and so they get to overtime, then overtime, they win the coin flip, and then they have the walk-off touchdown pass after a nice play to Foster Moreau. Then they hit Devonta Adams. This is Nathaniel Hackett on why they decided to pass the ball in idiotic fashion on third down with under 2 minutes to go.
We were discussing on whether or not we wanted to run the ball. We wanted to get ourselves a chance to be able to close the game out and win it. So we called a pass, and you got to keep the clock running one way or the other. Whether you take a shot down the field and you try to go up, maybe get a PI opportunity, because if you do catch it, you have a chance to win the game, and it's great. If it doesn't, the one thing, you know, we just want to be sure that clock is running if we can, unless we have a chance for the shot to win the game. That's one of those situations you can take a sack or you could just run the ball, but we want the clock running in that situation.
I've said this for weeks. I'll say it again, and I just keep on getting more and more reasons. Nathaniel Hackett should be fired. How you trusted, I know they just traded all those picks and they paid Russ, and Russ has been a great quarterback for a long time in this league, but he hasn't been this year or really the last 2 years. How you trusted Russell Wilson to make the right decision and even try to throw the ball to get 10 yards, and then you're going to blame him for not taking the sack. Like, yeah, he should have taken the sack. Should have fell down in bounds. I get that. But the obvious play call when it's so unlikely that you're going to get the first down is to run the football. And how Nathaniel Hackett didn't do that once again shows why he's not qualified to be a head coach in the NFL. It's mistakes over and over and over again. They had that game won, and then he's a big reason why they didn't get the job done. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back, and when we do return, we got to get into a little bit about the LA Rams and their three big names in Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, and then Sean McVay. How many of those guys are going to be back next year? How much is retirement in play for maybe all three? We'll discuss as the Rams lose another game, this time to the New Orleans Saints.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you could hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. All sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your life for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Hickey, we're going to play a little game here, and we're going to project the future of Aaron Donald, who's my BFF, Sean McVay, and Matthew Stafford. This season has been a disaster for the Los Angeles Rams, and that's putting it nicely. Now, they lost to the Saints yesterday, and Matthew Stafford leaves the game with a concussion. Now, he was just coming out of the concussion protocol, and he did not play last week in that horrible game where they lost once again to the Arizona Cardinals. And last week, I said to you that I was reading that his wife has spoken a lot about player safety, head injuries, and concussions. So now you have a player who already won a Super Bowl. I don't think it's likely he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, even though that was a debate last year after winning the Super Bowl. That team is taking a step back. The offensive line's not good, and you don't know where the future is going to be. So let's start with Stafford. Because a lot of times, we just look at these players and athletes as robots, and they're just going to be there each and every year. And you would think, oh, Stafford's, what, 34 years old, still young, right? Still could go play, even though not everyone plays until they're 40. Still go play for another 4 or 5 years in the NFL if he wanted to. And he's under contract through 2026 and doesn't become an unrestricted free agent until he's 39 in 2027. How much of a chance out of 100 do you think that Matthew Stafford is going to walk away at the end of the year and maybe his wife has a conversation with him and makes him evaluate, okay, it's time to step away. You got the ring. You made all the money in the world. And now you're dealing with head injuries back-to-back weeks.
I will say 10%.
Okay. My number's a little bit higher. I would agree. I don't think it's likely that he's going to walk away, but I think it's a conversation that you have to have. I would say it's at about like 18%. Is the way that I would go. I think that's legitimately a conversation you need to have with your wife. I think it could be a concern to Matthew Stafford as well, but I would still probably lean on the side that he's going to be more back than not back, and I don't think it's really a coin flip, but I do think it's a serious possibility, and 18%, even though it's on the smaller side of things number-wise out of 100, it's not as if that's, we're saying it's like a less than 5% chance, which would basically assert that neither of us think it's going to happen. Now, Sean McVay, there was retirement talk last year, got the contract extension. There was talks of him going to TV. I think Amazon offered him a big deal, and supposedly he turned that down. Does Sean McVay start to maybe say, okay, let me reset the lay of the land, even though I just took a contract extension, I'll go do TV for a few years, and then come back in a few years because I'm still young and I do think he will coach somewhere else before it's all said and done with his NFL career.
This offseason, I'll say no. You know, there's been reports that he wants to kind of stick it out with the core group of guys. It doesn't have a long time left. Aaron Donald, which I'm sure I'll get to in a second, Stafford, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp. I think he'll be back next year and not kind of call it quits after this down year.
Okay, I think it's a little bit higher than Stafford. I still think it's unlikely. I'll go 25%. Now, here's the most likely one. Aaron Donald. Because when we had Aaron Donald on in that viral interview before the start of the season where he wouldn't answer the questions about swinging helmets at the Cincinnati Bengals player that we still don't know and the whole Dr. Teals thing happened, the part that was lost in that is he was extensive with us for 5 to 6 minutes about his future and how he came back to win another Super Bowl. And there were talks that he was going to retire. Like, suppose he already had his retirement letter written up. And he was going to announce his retirement, and he was going to walk away and then came back. I'm like leaning like 70% that Aaron Donald's going to retire at the end of the year. I think it's more likely than unlikely that he's going to retire at the end of this season. I know they just got a new contract done. He did talk about in that interview how he like he's locked in for probably 2 more years. But at this point, if it's really, and maybe it's about the money, and sure, it's not really about the Super Bowl, but if it's about the Super Bowl, you're really going to have a shot to win one next year? I don't think you're going to have a good shot with this Rams team. So where's your number at with Aaron Donald?
I would still say low. I would say about 30%. I'd be actually very surprised if he retires, because I think you can make a legitimate argument in a case if you're Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford of him coming back and chasing a Super Bowl. I mean, you look at the show with the NFC and how basically no one separates themselves. It's all kind of one conglomerate of good to okay to flawed teams.
Well, they got to fix that entire offense.
They
line, do.
Then. Oh, they got to make changes big time. I'm not disagreeing.
They got to go get another weapon for Cooper Kupp. Who knows what Cooper Kupp's going to be coming off this injury?
But there's too. Also a roster that, again, won a Super Bowl last year. It's not like it's, yeah, you know, they're bereft of talent.
And it's very tough to not only repeat, but it's very tough to be a consistent winner in this league. Now, McVay has won a lot. McVay has been to the playoffs a bunch. He's been to 2 Super Bowls. I could just see with how much weird talk there was before that game that was leaked out to Rodney Harrison from Donald, and then how much there was this offseason, I'm leaning more so on the side that he's going to retire than come back next year. But hey, maybe I'll be wrong on that one, and he will be back. I want to see him keep on playing because the guy's a heck of a football player. We all know that, one of the greatest defensive players of all time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll break when we come on back. It is our week 11 edition of No Huddle Offense. And Hickey, you know there's one call that we really want to hear. And we have to see how our favorite color analyst handled it. We'll get to the no-huddle offense next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.